welcome to the Divided Kingdom broadcast. Obviously, I'm not Lou and Elizabeth. My name is Daryl Eberhart, and I am so honored to be guest hosting this edition of the Divided Kingdom broadcast for your regular hosts, Lou and Elizabeth Caverly. Each Thursday, they bring you the news from a Christian viewpoint, and that's something that we all need to hear. I would like to ask you early on in this broadcast to please remember to grab a pencil or pen and a small sheet of paper to write down two. I'm going to give you two important internet websites that you can visit daily, maybe three, for real news reports and articles, not the fake news that you're often getting from the what I call the corporate-controlled mainstream media. And maybe I'll be giving you several books and maybe a DVD with some good information concerning the topics that we'll be covering today. Now, first, here's a little bit of information about my background. I was born and raised in southwest central Pennsylvania. I joined the Air Force, U.S. Air Force, in 1965 straight out of high school because I figured I'm probably going to get drafted, so I might as well get my pick of the service that I wanted to go into. And I was very fortunate because the Air Force gave me a language aptitude test, and I scored well on it, and I received training in both the Russian and Arabic languages while serving in the Air Force and working in Air Force intelligence units for a little over 11 years as an enlisted member. I just made Master Sergeant, hadn't sewed the stripe on when a suggestion was made to me by a former Navy guy that was then a warrant, Army warrant officer. He said, why don't you put in for Army warrant? I did, and so I switched over later to the U.S. Army Military Intelligence when I accepted that warrant officer appointment, and then I later received a direct commission to the rank of captain, finishing my 20 years of military service at the U.S. Army's Intelligence Center and School. After retiring from the U.S. Army, I worked for 6 years as a Department of Defense civilian at a top intelligence agency in the country. I certainly received a whole lot of great technical and foreign language training, especially from the Army, but the Air Force gave me some too, and so did the specialized training in an Arabic colloquial dialect at that civilian intelligence agency. However, the very best training that I've ever had has occurred as I've been reading through the entire Holy Bible each year. Now, I believe, for at least 16 or so years. So I highly, highly recommend the study of the entire Holy Bible. And by the way, during my last 2 years in the U.S. Army, I taught classes on national signals intelligence and also on the Middle East. So I've got a little bit of expertise on the Middle East and Islam. And I can tell you that the warnings that you have been receiving from Lou and Elizabeth Caverly about militant jihadi Islam on recent Divided Kingdom broadcasts are, as they say, right on target, spot on. They are so important and so timely, so we're so fortunate to have them keeping us up to date on what militant Islamic jihadis are doing around the world and in the United States. Elizabeth Caverly asked me to ask you listeners the following questions, and God willing, I'll be trying to give you some answers to these questions. Number one, does the shocking resignation of retired U.S. Army Lieutenant General Michael Flynn as National Security Advisor to President Donald Trump? And, of course, General Flynn was a man who heroically tried to stop radical Islam from overtaking America. Does his resignation show a war between light and dark intelligence factions? And we'll be taking a look at that. Question number two, is it a scary kind of control, and I might add intimidation, to see this capitulation to bogus charges relating to, and of course, I believe that's the Logan Act, that this incoming National Security Advisor, retired Army Lieutenant General Flynn, cannot talk with other nations' leaders when this is precisely what his job is and what has always been done in prior administrations. And, of course, Alex Jones on his Infowars.com has been talking about this forced resignation of Lieutenant General, retired Army Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. And the final question, will Lieutenant General Flynn's resignation embolden the New World Order, i.e. the globalists, to further weaken the Trump administration by widening investigations? And I'll tell you the short answer to that right now. Yes, they're going after a number of members in the Trump administration. So let's go back and tackle each of those questions one at a time. And we'll do that with question number one. And I want to pass some information to you, too, first, before we tackle those things one by one. Elizabeth also asked me to pass this following information on to you listeners. President Trump recently negated via a new executive order, basically canceling out one of Obama's old orders, the labeling of patriots and constitutionalists and Christians as extremists to be targeted in a martial law scenario as occurred in the Jade Helm military exercises. But now is going to apply only to radical Islam. So that is a big, big change and an important change. So let's go back to that first question. And we're going to cover these just briefly, and then we're going to get into a bunch more information. So the first question was, does the shocking resignation of retired General Michael Flynn, a man who heroically tried to stop radical Islam from overtaking America, does his resignation show a war between light and dark intelligence factions? And I'll get a little bit more into that when I talk about the CIA, but the short answer to that is yes, indeed. There are elements within the CIA, and I'm going to read you just a short thing that I had recently written about the CIA, but there are definitely elements within the CIA that are not working in the best interest of the United States. That's one of the reasons John Kennedy was killed. He was going to take away a little bit of their power in the area of paramilitary operations, the black ops. So let me read this little thing here that I put in about and I'm grabbing it right here now, surrounded by books and everything, but I had written this as a special note to the new year 2017. It was a six-page handout that I wrote, and it's important that we let people know this. And lest anyone think that I believe the entire CIA participates in evil deeds, such as carrying out the assassination of various heads of state and the overthrow of democratically elected leaders and governments around the world, I certainly do not. I worked 26 years in the U.S. intelligence community, and as I told you earlier, 20 years of which was in U.S. Air Force intelligence and Army intelligence, and 6 years again at a Department of Defense civilian employee at a top U.S. intelligence agency. I strongly believe, and this is so important that we all keep this in mind, I strongly believe that the majority of the employees at the CIA are patriotic Americans who work as intelligence analysts, reporters, linguists, etc. The problem is that within the CIA, there is a small but very powerful cabal that is involved in clandestine operations, what we call black operations, that include assassinations and the overthrow of foreign governments, etc. In other words, clandestine operations that have often run counter to the best interests of the United States of America and the American people. Clandestine operations that have caused many people around the world to hate America. President Harry S. Truman, while he was in retirement, stated that he regretted having brought the CIA into existence. President John Fitzgerald Kennedy, and we'll get more into this later, stated shortly before his assassination that he was planning to shut down CIA clandestine operations, and of course he had planned, once he did that, to transfer those operations over to the Pentagon. And so, folks, it's important that we keep that in mind, that there are good, decent, patriotic Americans who work at the Central Intelligence Agency. Now, question number two, is it a scary kind of control to see this capitulation to bogus charges, and of course that's relating to a violation of the Logan Act, that an incoming National Security Advisor, General Flynn, cannot talk with other nations' leaders when this is precisely what his job is and what has always been done in prior administrations? And again, I said the short answer to that is yes, it's an act of intimidation. They are going, even part of the Republican establishment is against Donald Trump, and they are going after his advisors, and they're probably going to go after some of his cabinet. So we need to keep this in mind, that there's a media war, and there's part of the Republican establishment making a war against President Donald Trump. And now the final question, we'll give an answer to that. Will Lieutenant General Flynn's resignation embolden the New World Order, the people that we call globalists, to further weaken the Trump administration by widening investigations? And I think my answer to number two answers number three here. Certainly, these people, especially the corporate-controlled mainstream media, did all they could to turn people away from Donald Trump, to try to portray him as a playboy, and to certainly prejudice people into not voting for him by putting out all these fake polls that showed him losing in a landslide to Hillary. And as we well know, they were the mainstream, what I call the corporate controlled mainstream media, certainly has egg all over their face on that issue, because obviously Trump, he didn't win a landslide in a popular vote. I believe he got more of the popular vote than Hillary Clinton did, but he certainly won in a landslide in the electoral vote. So again, they did all that they could to keep him from getting elected, and now they are frantically trying to undo the election by, with calls for impeachment by Maxine Waters, calls for him to be assassinated, threats of assassination by even Senator Chuck Schumer, who said, you better watch out, you're messing with the intelligence community, your intelligence agencies, and there's about six different ways they can take care of you. So certainly a veiled threat there. And of course, many Hollywood people are calling for the assassination of Donald Trump. And so there were several other topics that Elizabeth asked me to touch on in this broadcast, and those are, and we'll try to cover them in a little bit of depth, is what's the truth about the CIA? Number two, what are the Vatican connections to Alan Dulles, who was a decades-long director of the Central Intelligence Agency? Number three, the JFK assassination. Number four, the murder of, or assassination, if you'd like, of General George S. Patton, the World War II hero. And number five, the assassination of President Lincoln. So she gave me a little bit to cover there, and we're going to try to cover those topics one by one. And again, I hope you'll have a pencil and a sheet of paper handy, because I will tell you about some books. One of them, I'll have to give you an information on where to order it, because it's such a good book on the Lincoln assassination, two books in one volume. So anyway, the first topic, what's the truth about the CIA? And so let's remember again that a lot of the CIA people are patriots, but we're going to have to be talking a little bit about the Vatican, the Jesuits, and the Knights of Malta, because many, many of the CIA heads and the head of counterintelligence for decades was James Jesus Angleton. So there's a big Knight of Malta connection. And, of course, the Jesuits run and control the Knights of Malta. And so I'm going to give you just a tiny, as a disclaimer type, or that I'm certainly not anti-Catholic. And what I want to read to you here is just a short piece that I put into a lot of my writing, because I've written quite a bit on the Jesuits and on the Roman Catholic Church. So it's called Not a Roman Catholic, and I am not a Roman Catholic, a member of the Roman Catholic Church. My brother and I were born to a Methodist mother and to a Roman Catholic father. Growing up, my brother and I, we attended religious services at a local Methodist church. I did, however, take some Roman Catholic catechism classes while I was an adult. Those classes did not last very long because the Roman Catholic priest in charge of the classes told me not to come back when I started asking him too many questions that he couldn't answer. So I never converted to Roman Catholicism, but I did learn a lot about his doctrines and practices. Today, I would label myself simply as a Bible believer. My Roman Catholic dad died several years ago. Most of my relatives are Roman Catholics, as are most of my friends. My hometown's about 75% Roman Catholic, and the two nearby towns are about 90% Roman Catholic. My best friend and his dearly departed wife were extremely devout Roman Catholics, both of whom came from large Roman Catholic families, and they were devout Roman Catholics until they left that church to become Bible-believing Christians years ago. Thus, I know and love, and let me repeat that, I love a lot of individual Roman Catholics, and I love some former Roman Catholics, though I have in the past written, again, a lot about Roman Catholicism, especially about the Jesuit order. I am definitely not anti-individual Roman Catholic at the local community level. I am, however, against the top levels of secret societies such as the Jesuit Order and P2 Masonry. And by the way, the Jesuit Order controls P2 Masonry and the Knights of Malta. I'm against those secret societies because they control the hierarchical Roman Catholic system. These secret societies use the Roman Catholic system not only to keep over 1 billion Roman Catholics in line, but also to gather intelligence to infiltrate governments and various religious organizations and societies. The Jesuits and the Knights of Malta, whom they command, are famous for infiltrating governments and military organizations. And again, there is a big, big, big Knight of Malta connection to the Central Intelligence Agency. And some of the heads of the Central Intelligence Agency that were Knights of Malta was, of course, Alan Dulles. I've got an excellent book on him that I'll tell you about later, God willing. But James Jesus Angleton, who was for decades the head of counterintelligence, which is a very important role within the CIA, he was a Knight of Malta. He was also, by the way, the liaison to the Warren Commission from the CIA. And Bill Casey, Bill Colby, George Tenet, I believe there's been, I'm trying to think, there are so many of them, John McCone, that have been Knights of Malta that have headed up and been directors of the CIA. And, of course, the predecessor to the CIA was the Office of Strategic Service, the OSS, during World War II, and that was headed up by a Knight of Malta. So we're going to see here there is a big connection between the Knights of Malta and the international banking community and the international intelligence community. So while I'm on that subject, let me just tell you briefly, I did a little sheet up, a handout one time on who are the Jesuits, and it's important we know because they do control these Knights of Malta. The Jesuit order was founded in 1534 by St. Ignatius of Loyola. It was officially approved as a religious order of the Roman Catholic Church by Pope Paul III in 1540. The Jesuit order, and this is interesting, is also called the Society of Jesus and the Sons of Loyola. It has been given at least three very interesting nicknames, the Company, and that's a nickname that it shares with the CIA. Isn't that interesting? The Engineer Corps of Hell, and that was a nickname given to it by author Edwin Allen Sherman, who wrote a book by that title, and the Gestapo of the Roman Catholic Church, a nickname given to it by a Protestant clergyman named Ian Paisley, who was a member of the British Parliament and a member of the European Parliament. The primary goals of this religious order are, one, to roll back the Protestant Reformation and the freedoms that it brought to many of the inhabitants of the planet, two, to enhance the power and prestige of the papacy and its white pope, and three, to rule despotically over the governments of the world through the papacy. And of course, they plan to have the white pope, the current Pope Francis, is by the way, was a Jesuit provincial. They plan to have the head of the Jesuit order, in other words, that's a Jesuit superior general, the black pope. He is the real power behind the papal throne, and he is to be the head of the one world religion. And we see certainly big moves in that direction with the ecumenical movement. The Jesuit superior general, in other words, he was nicknamed by the Italians as the black pope. He wears black and the regular pope wears white. The Jesuit superior general is the master of all these, and this is so important. He's the master of his Jesuit order, which is the most powerful secret society in the world, the Knights of Malta, and that's important, and the highest levels of the Knights of Columbus, the highest levels of Opus Dei, and the highest levels of Freemasonry. And, of course, that includes what they call the Italian version of Freemasonry, and that's P2 Masonry. Through key individuals in secret societies and in Roman Catholic orders, the Black Pope controls the international banking community and the international intelligence community. That's important to know because during World War II, Reinhard Gehlen, who later came over and worked for the CIA, he was Hitler's chief of intelligence against the Soviet Union. He was a Knight of Malta, as was also, as I mentioned earlier, the head of the OSS then, William Joseph Wild Bill Donovan, also was a Knight of Malta. And these people helped to set up the CIA in the United States. There's a lot of Jesuit universities in America. Some of the most famous are Georgetown, Fordham, Boston College, Creighton, and many of our top U.S. government officials, including Foreign Service personnel, are graduates of Jesuit universities, especially Georgetown. And as I said, many graduates of Jesuit Georgetown University have served and are serving in the United States, what we call the diplomatic community. This, of course, raises the question, who's really running U.S. foreign policy from behind the scenes? And finally, there's I hope you have your pencil ready. There's a French author named Edmond Paris, who wrote a tremendous book called The Secret History of the Jesuits. The Secret History of the Jesuits, and he provides lots of evidence to prove massive Jesuit and papal involvement in fomenting both World War I and World War II. So I would urge you to get that little book. I'm just going to give you a phone number. You can get it from Chick Publications. But again, the name of the book is The Secret History of the Jesuits by Edmond Paris, and I'll give the phone number twice, 909-987-0771, 909-987-0771, or you can visit chick.com. That's a website, chick, like as a little baby chick, chick.com. And I would urge you to get that book because the Jesuits are so powerful today. It wasn't just during World War II. It just wasn't during Inquisition times. They are, again, the most powerful secret society in the world. Now, the next topic, what are the Vatican connections to Alan Dulles, the former decades-long director of the CIA. Well, as I mentioned earlier, Alan Dulles was also a Knight of Malta. And that's the Knights of Malta. Their official title is the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, abbreviated SMOM. That is controlled by the Jesuit Superior General again. And again, don't forget, he's nicknamed the Black Pope. So, again, so many of these people, all involved with the Central Intelligence Agency, and again, massive Vatican connections to these people. And of course, Alan Dulles, also a high-level Freemason, I believe 33 degree, but also a Knight of Malta. So that's the answer to what are the Vatican connections to Alan Dulles. And it's important to know about this guy because he ties in with the JFK assassination, which is the next topic that we're going to cover. And the JFK assassination, and boy, there's been so many good books written about that. Again, Knights of Malta are all over the map on the JFK cover-up. Of course, we do know that there was mafia involvement in killing him. There were some people in the military and the Secret Service that also participated, Lyndon Johnson. And you can find out there's even a book that's been written about Lyndon Johnson's involvement. There were a bunch of these people all met at Clint Murchison's mansion the night before the assassination to fine-tune their plans. But again, this has been well covered. If you're not into reading books, you might just want to get, and while Oliver Stone's movie JFK, which is excellent, you might want to watch it. It stars Kevin Costner as playing Jim Garrison, the New Orleans DA that went after Clay Shaw, who was also a Knight of Malta, by the way, also tied to the CIA. Jim Garrison, of course, was investigating the JFK assassination. He paid a heavy price for doing that. It had family breakup and that. And, of course, some federal agencies, including the CIA, went after him. But again, that movie will not show you the tie-in to the Knights of Malta. However, it does tie in the mafia, CIA connection very well. So I would urge, if you haven't seen that, and try to get the director's cut, but it's all Oliver Stone's movie JFK, the director's cut, and it will show you a lot of the tie-ins with the intelligence agencies and with the mafia and others in making a massive conspiracy. And I'd just like to say a word about conspiracy. The world runs on conspiracy. When they try to shut up any talk that's outside of the mainstream media, the government version of, say, like the assassination of JFK, they're going to try to beat you on the head with a stick, calling you a that stick is labeled conspiracy theorist, conspiracy nut. And, of course, they call all of these things conspiracy theories. But the world runs, again, like I said, on conspiracies, whether it's three locals in a small town getting together and planning to rob the local bank, to the murder of many famous people around the world. Caesar, there was a large conspiracy within his Senate to murder him. Of course, Jesus Christ was killed by a conspiracy between the religious leaders and the state, the Roman state. And there's just many, many examples throughout history. Of course, JFK is one of the most massive conspiracies that's been well covered in books. And so, again, the world runs on conspiracy. So when anyone tells you or calls you a conspiracy nut or a conspiracy theorist, just remember they're just trying to cut off debate. So anyway, here's some of these Knights of Malta that were all over the map on the JFK cover-up. Number one is Knight of Malta, Alan Dulles. He was fired by JFK basically told to step down from being the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. Well, what happens to Knight of Malta, Alan Dulles? He ends up running the Warren Commission from behind the scenes. He's the main player running it. He appoints the two, well, basically the two liaison guys from the FBI and the CIA. Are both Knights of Malta, and we'll talk about that in a second. But do remember this, that he hated JFK, and he hated, not so much him, the FBI director, J. Edgar Hoover, certainly hated both JFK and RFK, his brother. Anyway, we have Alan Dulles. He's really running the Warren Commission from behind the scenes, the man that has been fired by John Kennedy. And then we have Knight of Malta, Kartha Deek Deloach. He's the assistant FBI director at that time. He ends up being the liaison from the FBI to the Warren Commission. And then another Knight of Malta, James Jesus Angleton, then the head of counterintelligence. Remember, I said that's an extremely powerful position in the CIA. He ends up being the CIA liaison to the Warren Commission. So do you see how they worked this out? The cover-up conspiracy is massive because you've got all information coming from the FBI to the Warren Commission be controlled by a Knight of Malta, Kartha Deek Deloach. All of the information coming from the CIA to the Warren Commission is controlled by a Knight of Malta named James Jesus Angleton. So the two main agencies that were supposed to be providing the Warren Commission with important information end up, they're the ones that are sanitizing what gets up there. In other words, they pick and choose what the Warren Commission is going to see. And of course, Alan Dulles then running the Warren Commission from behind the scenes ensures that the proper decision is going to be made, that it was a lone nut conspirator, a lone nut assassin, that shot John Kennedy and no one else was involved. And of course, later they had a Senate Committee on Assassinations and they looked into it, I think in 1977, and they said, well, it appears there indeed was a conspiracy. But to this day, they won't admit all of the involvement coming from the intelligence agencies. And then we had this Knight of Malta, again, James Jesus Angleton, who's then the head of counterintelligence at the CIA. He's also involved in the cover-up later on with trying to get any information that has been given out by JFK to certain individuals. So, massive involvement. Now, why was JFK assassinated? I just want to talk a little bit about that. And again, there's been a lot of books written about this, but JFK did a number of things, and Trump is sort of repeating some of the things that he's doing because he's offended this bad element within the CIA. So here's what basically got JFK assassinated. Any one of them would have probably resulted in his assassination. However, compiled together, they ensured it. Number one was JFK wanted to end the Vietnam War. And L. Fletcher Prouty, who was an Air Force full bird colonel, at that time was a liaison with the CIA. He's written a couple books, and I'll try to mention them later. But right now, number one reason he wanted to end the Vietnam War, and there were lots and lots of folks, big corporations making big, big dollars off of the Vietnam War. So John Kennedy wanted to end the Vietnam War. Number two, he had stated that he wanted to splinter the CIA into 1,000 pieces. There was a lot of bad blood over the Bay of Pigs, the CIA handling it, and with JFK taking the blame. Number three, he was going to transfer the covert black operations that I mentioned earlier from the CIA to the Pentagon, and they were very upset about that. And number four, and I could probably give you five or six reasons, but these are four of the main ones. He had money printed up without going through the Federal Reserve. In other words, he shut the Federal Reserve out of the loop. And normally the treasurer might the Federal Reserve makes interest on the money that is printed by the Treasury. So again, there's lots and lots of good books that have been written about the JFK assassinations, and I'm going to give you the names of some of those books, but pay more attention to the author's name if you don't have time to write the full title down, because it's a lot easier for people like Barnes & Noble and the other big bookstores. And of course, you can always go up on Amazon.com. I don't have internet, but I'm in the Stone Age, people tell me. But you can always go up on there and type in the author's name or partial title of the book, and you're probably going to be able to find at least someone who sells a used copy if you can't find a new copy. So let's just mention some of these books, and I've got them laying all over my floor here, so I'm just going to reach around. And I can't find my book by Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty. I believe he wrote two books, one called The Secret Team, and the other one's, again, just type in his name, probably you can find it. But Prouty is spelled P-R-O-U-T as in tango, Y, P-R-O-U-T-Y. L. Fletcher Prouty wrote two good books. Crossfire was written by Jim Mars. Crossfire by Jim Mars, M-A-R-R-S. And another book that came out fairly recently, excellent book, JFK and the Unspeakable. JFK and the Unspeakable. And you know, folks, we've had people risk their lives, their very lives, to write some of these books. And so we should take advantage of them and become as informed as we can on these subjects, and then tell other people when we find a really good book, tell them about it. The subtitle is Why He Died and Why It Matters. It's by James W. Douglas, and that's D-O-U-G-L-A-S-S, two S's, Douglas. We're going to have another Douglas, what we're going to be talking about later, who wrote a book about the assassination of General Patton, another conspiracy. And so there's another book here that I have that probably a lot of people don't know about. It's not famous, but it's called Regicide, as in killing a king, R-E-G-I-C-I-D-E. And don't bother about the subtitle. I just want to let you know what it is. It's The Official Assassination of JFK by Gregory Douglas. And there's only one S in his name, Gregory Douglas. It's an excellent book. So it's just called Regicide, R-E-G-I-C-I-D-E. Another good book that probably a lot of folks don't know about is The Elite Serial Killers of Lincoln, JFK, RFK, and MLK, and that's written by, again, it's more important you get the name of the author down because some of the titles are long, but it's called The Elite Serial Killers of Lincoln, JFK, RFK, and MLK. We'll be talking a little bit about Lincoln, God willing, here shortly, but it's been written by a man named Robert Galen Ross Sr. And Robert Galen, G-A-Y-L-O-N, Ross, R-O-S-S, Sr. Robert Galen Ross. Craig Roberts, who was a former Marine and Army Intelligence, I believe, he wrote Killzone, A Sniper Looks at Dealey Plaza, and his name is Craig C-R-A-I-G Roberts, R-O-B-E-R-T-S. And, of course, Mark Lane wrote a book, Last Word. Last Word, Mark Lane, L-A-N-E. I'm just going to give you a couple of these. Dick Russell wrote two excellent books. Dick Russell, R-U-S-S-E-L-L. So if you, again, Google or do an internet search for his name, Dick Russell, you come up on two books. On the Trail of the JFK Assassins. On the Trail of the JFK Assassins, he also wrote The Man Who Knew Too Much. The Man Who Knew Too Much. And I do hope you'll check some of these books out. Lamar Waldron wrote two books. His last name, L-A-M-A-R for first name, Waldron, W-A-L-D-R-O-N, W-A-L-D-R-O-N. He wrote The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. And again, it's more important you get the author's name down correctly. the hidden history of the JFK assassination, and he wrote Legacy of Secrecy. Legacy of Secrecy. So you can see, and these are probably about half the books I have on the JFK assassination. I had to run around the house trying to find a bunch of them, and so there's enough there if you can get one or two of those books, or watch Oliver Stone's movie if you're not much into book reading. That's going to show you how this was such a massive, massive conspiracy that killed John Fitzgerald Kennedy. The next topic that Elizabeth wanted me to cover was the murder of George S. Patton, and he, of course, was a U.S. Army general during World War II. I believe he was two and then three stars, but anyway, he was assassinated, and there was almost nothing has ever appeared about this until a few years ago. A man wrote a book, and this one, if you're interested in General Patton, actually, I believe he had four stars right at the very end of the war, so he would have been a four-star general right at the end of the war. But a man named, I believe it was Douglas Bezzotta, was what they kind of a special forces guy before the special forces came along. But the Knight of Malta named William Joseph Wellbill Donovan put a hit out on George Patton. They did not want George Patton to come back to the United States. He was independently wealthy, and they didn't want him to come back and maybe run for office, because Patton was going to spill the beans about how the Russians were allowed to take Eastern Europe, how he was slowed down in the war, which prolonged the war greatly when they cut his fuel off to him. They wouldn't provide him with the means that he needed to counterattack several times. But he's the general that was very famous for relieving the 101st Airborne Division there at the Battle of the Bulge. My dad was a combat medic in the Battle of the Bulge. And that was where the Germans tried a massive counterattack after the Normandy invasion had taken place. And again, they hamstrung General Patton as often as they could. And he definitely did not want the Russians. He said, why would we want one totalitarian regime to take these countries after another totalitarian regime, talking about Nazi Germany, had controlled them? He wanted those people to be free in what we would call Eastern Europe. Poland and Czechoslovakia and Hungary. He did not want them to be made slaves behind an iron curtain that would be set up. And so they decided he was never going to come back and tell what he knew about how Stalin had basically been given Eastern Europe, and those people suffered horribly under Soviet rule. And with these communist regimes that were set up, like in East Germany, you had the Stasi, very, very cruel, murderous, barbarous regimes. And so General Patton was never going to make it back. So I'll give you the short story of it. They basically, Douglas Bezzotta was asked to kill him, General Patton. And again, I think it was $10,000 he was offered. And I'll tell you the name of the book where you can find out about all of this. But again, Wellbill Joseph Donovan, who was then the head of the Office of Strategic Services, offered him, I believe it was $10,000 to kill Patton. So he wanted to do it and make it look like an accident. So they set up the truck that turned in front of Patton's vehicle, and they said he had some sort of a air gun type thing where he shot a large bolt. They didn't want any bullets or anything to look like he, and it hit him, I believe, somewhere near his chin or something. It broke his neck. But Patton was starting to recover in the hospital. Of course, he was still paralyzed, but he was making such good progress that they thought that they would, you know, send him home for Christmas to be with his family. And lo and behold, Douglas Bezzotto believes it was an NKVD, which later became the KGB, which later became the FSB. In other words, the Soviet, old Soviet KGB type guy came in and poisoned him with something. So Patton, of course, died in the hospital right at, the night after the doctors had the previous day decided that he was well enough to travel on an aircraft to go home to America. So he was never going to come back to America and tell what he knew. And so it's an excellent book. It's a very large, a hardback book. I'm going to give you the name of it in a second. And it ties in a lot of this OSS and some of the evil deeds that it did in betraying some of our good agents in the OSS, this William Wild Bill Donovan was, again, a Knight of Malta, and he received a big award from the papacy for a lifetime of service. But it ties in a lot of what was going on in intelligence then, gets into the Battle of the Bulge. So it's over 440 pages, has a nice index, and it's a hardback book, and it's about the only one out there I know that tells the truth about the conspiracy to murder General George S. Patton, one of our most famous World War II generals. So the name of the book is Target Patton, and Patton is, most people know the spelling of his name, but it's P-A-T as in tango, T as in tango, O-N, Patton, Target Patton, and you don't need to write down the I just want to tell it to you, but you don't need to write it down. The subtitle is The Plot to Assassinate General George S. Patton. Now, the man who wrote it is Robert K. as in Kilo Wilcox. Last name, again, Robert K. Wilcox, W-I-L-C-O-X. So Robert K. Wilcox. So if any of you out there are really interested in World War II, the Office of Strategic Services, which morphed later into the Central Intelligence Agency, this is an excellent, excellent book, and it gives you all the nuts and facts that you're going to need to understand that and why they so feared Patton. By the way, on the battlefield, he was known as Old Blood and Guts, and the Germans feared him. They tried to line up, sort of like in the American Civil War. Many of the Union generals did not want to line up against General Stonewall Jackson. It was the same. A lot of the German generals wanted to be in some other area or region where General George S. Patton was. So a very, very, very fascinating book. Another topic that Elizabeth wanted me to get into, was the Lincoln assassination. And this was a massive conspiracy. I mean, there weren't a whole lot of books written about it in the early days after the assassination, but immediately after the assassination. But there were a couple good, excellent books written. And, of course, now Bill O'Reilly of Fox News has written all these different books about the killing of Patton, the killing. And, of course, he never gets into evil William Wild Bill Joseph Donovan. He never tells you that they're a Knight of Malta, so that shows you that Fox, which is supposed to be fair and balanced, still kind of carries water for what I called, again, the corporate-controlled mainstream media. And, of course, he did one on the killing of Jesus. I wouldn't recommend any of his books to you. I'm just telling you that he's written or someone's written them for him. I don't know which is what, but I don't think anyone puts out 8 or 9 books like that and with all of the notes and everything. But anyway, this book by Wilcox is by far the best out there that will show you the Knight of Malta tie-in on George Patton. And, of course, what the murder of Patton or the killing of Patton, I think that Bill O'Reilly has, doesn't, of course, tell you anything. And the same thing with the Lincoln assassination. He'll tell you the names of the assassins. And, of course, there were 8 assassins that were tried by a 12-man military commission, and he'll tell you that, and he'll give you the names, but he doesn't give you what Bill O'Reilly and other writers on the Lincoln assassination will not tie in, is the Jesuit-controlled front group, the Knights of the Golden Circle, that were almost all the members of the lower level, mid-level members were Knights of the Golden Circle, and their oaths look almost like blood oaths, look like Jesuit oaths. So that's an important thing to keep in mind, is that we need to know not only the names of generals and battles and history, we also need to know what was going on behind the scene. And of course, Lincoln was assassinated, and some people have brought this out, for several of the same reasons that JFK was assassinated, because he printed Lincoln greenbacks. And of course, then the bankers weren't getting their big cut of the interest that they make off printing money. And so Lincoln went up against the big bankers. He also went up against basically the Jesuits, because the Jesuits hated Lincoln. They wanted to divide America. And of course, a lot of this is what I would call lost history. But the Jesuits, through their front group, the Knights of the Golden Circle, their headquarters was in Cincinnati, Ohio, but they were going down and telling the Southerners, you need to revolt, you need to rebel, we'll provide rifles, you need to. And so, in other words, they helped to foment that war, again, to divide the American Republic, which was hated not only by the Pope, but they were hated by these European monarchs like Prince Metternich, or Metternich. Some people nicknamed him. He was Metternich, and Metternich was, I think, his name. They nicknamed him Metternich because he was a prince of darkness to them. So, like midnight. And so they wanted to break up the American Republic, and here's an interesting sideline. The Tsar of Russia helped save the United States. That's a pretty much an untold story. Both Britain and France and possibly Spain were getting ready to come in on the side of the South. And, of course, they had sent a small army, the French had, to Mexico, and they had hoped that that army would take over Mexico and come up and help the South. The British had started to put some troops into Canada, and so they were going to destroy America. Again, these European monarchs and the Pope hated because they thought our freedoms would be like a plague that would spread over to Europe. And they didn't certainly want to give up any of their power. So, again, they thought of the experiment of our republic and the freedoms that it gave to people as a disease that could spread over to them. So, again, they wanted to split the Union. And the Tsar of Russia sent part of his fleet to put it under Lincoln's control. And he basically threatened England and France and Spain, you come in on the side of the South, then Russia's going to come in on the side of the Union. And so I'd have to say the Russian Tsar, I forget which one it was, I think it was Alexander II, but anyway, one of the Russian Tsars helped Lincoln to save the Union. Whatever your opinion of Lincoln and the Civil War is, the fact of the matter is that they wanted to split us into two warring countries that would fight each other every so often, and America would have never grown to be the great power that it would have. So let's talk about some of these people. Now, first off, I mentioned the 12-man military commission. They did try eight of the conspirators. Four of them they hung by the neck, including a woman, the first woman executed by the federal government. Her name was Mary Surratt. A number of people who wrote about the assassination said, the conspiracy was hatched in her house. It was her house was the place where the egg was hatched, her boarding house. So, but almost all of the people involved were belonged to the Roman Catholic Church and belonged to the Knights of the Golden Circle, again, a Jesuit front group. So let's just look at a couple of them. John Wilkes Booth, of course, he's the one that did the actual shooting. He was officially taken into membership in the Roman Catholic Church by Archbishop Martin J. Spalding of Baltimore approximately 3 weeks prior to the Booth's murder of Lincoln, Spalding personally administrating the sacraments to Booth. Again, remember, he is a member of this Knights of the Golden Circle. Then we had two Roman Catholic priests that helped one of the arch-conspirators, John Harrison Surratt, to escape to Canada, then on to England, and then where he went down to Papal Rome, where he became a part of the Pope's Zouave private little army there. But the two priests, Roman Catholic priests in France that helped John Harrison Surratt, hit him out in a parsonage in Saint-Lobois, I believe it would probably be pronounced in Canada. They concealed him until he could get on a ship to go to England. The other priest that helped, Roman Catholic priest, was named LaPierre. So we have the names of the people that, again, a massive conspiracy, not only to kill Lincoln, they had planned also, they had hoped to take out Ulysses S. Grant and the vice president and Secretary of State Seward, and he barely survived a vicious knife attack. But again, they made plans for getting some of the conspirators out of the country, and of course, the one that they did, John Harrison Surratt, went to Rome. They went over. They eventually ended up somewhere in North Africa, I think, and some U.S. marshals caught up to him, brought him back for a civil trial, and they brought in a bunch of Jesuits up into the jury area, and of course there were quite a few Roman Catholics, and they knew that they were supposed to, and they got a hung jury, so Surratt got off in a civil trial twice. Martin J. Spalding, I mentioned him, he's the one that brought John Wilkes Booth, a Knight of the Golden Circle, into the Catholic Church. John Harrison Surratt, I mentioned him, that was the great biggest, largest up to that date manhunt in the United States of America when they were trying to find John Harrison Surratt, again, an arch conspirator and a Knight of the Golden Circle. And Mary Surratt, his mother, she was the devout Roman Catholic owner of the boarding house where the egg, as they said, was hatched for assassinating President Abraham Lincoln. And we had a couple priests involved, Jacob A. Walter and Bernadine Burge Priest. So I think we're coming to the end here, and I think we covered almost everything. I'd like you to remember to support Lou and Elizabeth Caverly, the Vita Kingdom Broadcast. Tell people about the broadcast. Make a check payable to WWCR, Worldwide Christian Radio, and mail it to them, please, at Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609, and please pray for them for their safety and protection. P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And let's just say a quick prayer for President Donald Trump and his administration. Dear Heavenly Father, please keep them safe and give them guidance and thwart all of this talk of assassination of Donald J. Trump. So thank you so much, folks, for listening in. And again, please pray for Elizabeth and Lou, that God would guide them on what to bring you on the program. And thank you. We thank you, Lord, so much for Lou and Elizabeth Caverly.